Why does no one tell you that having a cold is a full body experience? I would so much rather have a fever that knocks me out.
Oh, yeah, because I can sleep through that. Cold is for the birds.
The boids.
The boids. You know what our favorite bird is? Cock-a-doodle-doo, baby.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, baby.
It's Red Rooster coming back at you. And let me tell you, it may be cold and flu season. Let me tell you what ain't cold. This left hand.
These left hands.
These left hands don't lie, baby. They covered. Red Rooster came out with some new flavors and some new colorways and some new products.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite of which, that wallet.
The glove wallet, as Drew would call his prison wallet.
Yeah. It is so fun to take something out of my bag, flip it. What am I feeling that day? I might want to go with the Boilermaker. I might want to go with the Comet. I might want to go with the Shrink.
The Shrink.
And guess what? They threw a little something extra in my package, too.
Oh, do you get the steppers?
I got the lemon pepper steppers, baby. I got the socks.
New boot goofing.
You didn't know Red Rooster was coming at you with socks.
You're the cock of the walk. No, the socks are incredible. I put them on for the first time to play golf yesterday. I'm not going to tell you what I shot, but it was pretty good.
Hell yeah. That's the Red Rooster difference.
So get you a Red Rooster glove wallet today and hop in on one of those subscription plans, too, because getting a fresh glovey once a month, getting gloved up by your friends at Red Rooster is the treat of all treats. It's the tiding of all tidings. 20% off your order. GGT20, RedRoosterGolf.com.
Tell them the Shrink sent you.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
There's another side to good health, and that's good mental health.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. I'm sorry, I was a little late. I was making some tea.
Same.
What are you drinking? What's?
I've got elderberry and echinacea.
Oh, fuck.
I went double bag.
Shit.
Bro, I'm telling you, whatever.
Wait, you went two bags?
I went two bags.
Two flavies?
No. Two bags of elderberry and echinacea.
Oh, okay. It double is a combo pack.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Whatever touched us in New York got his claws in me.
Yeah. I have the hand on the throat. Chokehold. Absolute chokehold.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Drew seemed to make out okay, but
he's got a mutant immune system because
that's what happens when you have two kids.
Yeah. They just bring home all kinds of stuff. Your white blood cells are like Avengers.
Right. And my white blood cells, emphasis on the white, are like, you know, if I have anything too spicy, I get sick.
Yeah, man, I've been struggling, dog. It's a week and a half, going on 2 weeks.
I know.
But to be fair, though, like once a year, I get one big sick.
Same.
And it always happens at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I think this is just it. Like whatever we were around at the same time, it got like mutated and activated when we played last Wednesday in LA and got rained on.
That, I mean, that whole day was cursed, to be fair.
It was.
But we needed an exorcism on that day. And I still feel like I kind of need an exorcism. I feel like there's some evil in me right now.
I need a Dementor to just come suck it out of me.
Suck my soul.
Yeah for real.
Yeah. No, I think that whatever we got, which is on the face of it, just a really bad cold that has mm-hmm. since migrated to both of our chests.
Yeah.
And is there, it's built a community in our chests. Like
yeah,
we're not,
yeah, yeah. It's taking not going a residency.
Anywhere. Yeah, yeah. It's squatter's rights. It's like, yes. We're here. We're fucking here. Call the cops. Try it.
Celine and Usher could never.
No. God, no. It keeps Celine could never. I think whatever it is that we have was certainly got in that, whatever that basement was that we ended up dancing in.
Ooh, yeah.
In New York.
When was the last time that was inspected?
I don't know. You know, the sign out front probably has like a B or an A rating, but I bet I bet that's a greasy palm kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's 1,000% some New York forged. Shit. Yeah, forged. Exactly. Yeah. Well,
wait. Speaking of forged.
Uh-oh. Is that an irons joke?
No.
Steel forged? No.
Bro, my first car, the first car my dad purchased for me. So my dad, recently, that looked hot.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
You feel,
to interrupt.
You feel good about that?
That was hot.
You regret your decision?
I do.
Yeah.
I drank too quick.
Yeah, you did. You were really looking forward to that tea and it bit back. Yeah. Look at that. I can see the heat from your tongue.
I blushed. I'm blushed now. Yeah.
You did.
Throat coat tea. You just did the opposite of that. It just coated my throat. Scorched throat. All right. Sorry. When you got your first car.
All right. My dad, he purchased a 2002 Chevy Malibu from one of his customers. My dad was a mailman for 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. Purchased this Malibu from a customer. Didn't get it inspected. Didn't get it, vetted. Just off the vibes. Here's $150. My son needs a car. Bet. Boom, boom. Car lasted me like 3 years. This is a great car. Great car. When it came to the end of its life, we sold it. Like some car service, you sell on the internet. You sign over the title, whatever. They come. They tow it away. When the driver who works for the service came to inspect the car, in New Jersey, your registration is a sticker that goes on the lower left portion of your front, your windshield.
Oh, okay. And yeah.
So obviously like he's changing over registration and title and everything. So he goes to take off the registration sticker and it pretty much just like crumbles. He looks at my dad like, is this legit?
Sell me a lemon?
Right. He's like, is this registration sticker legit? And my dad just looks at me like, man, go ahead. Don't ask no questions. Mm. So
it wasn't legit.
No. In fact, the guy followed up with a question. He was like, whose car did you snatch this off of?
I love it. I love it. Oh my God. That's so good. Wait, was the sticky on the inside or the outside of the windshield?
Sticky's on the inside.
Okay. So he literally like reached into somebody's window and grabbed it.
I don't know if my dad physically did it or if he got someone to do it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's great.
Look, there's a lot that I don't know about my pop. He was born and raised in Camden, New Jersey. you can do your Googles on what Camden, New Jersey is famous for.
What Camden's talking about. Yeah. That's sick. I love that. I'm here for some petty fraud. Generally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the benefit of your family. Jean Valjean. I drove around in Portland, Oregon with an unregistered car for a year and a half.
Hell yeah.
Like fully unregistered. No dupes, no fraud actually. It was literally just like broad
just
daylight.
Expiration.
It wasn't fraud, it was broad daylight. It was really and they had in Oregon, it was not a sticky on the inside of the windshield. It was like a little sticky on the license plate. Mm-hmm. And so if you had your car for like 8 years, you'd have eight stickers.
Oh, you'd have like several stickers. Yeah. And they do that in California.
It's the most
too.
Insecure kind of shit in the world. They would just be flapping in the wind.
Yes.
And ultimately, I did get my car registered and got the sticky and put it on. And then it fell off because it rains famously all the fucking time in Oregon.
That's whack.
And I got pulled over for having a registered car, but not seeing it.
Right.
And so I had to, I actually explained to the officer who pulled me over. I was like, it's actually registered, but very recently. And I didn't have registration for the last 18 months or whatever it was. So right. I got to stick it to him in the moment, which felt really good. But I'm all here for a little fraud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tasteful fraud, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. What some folks will do with that, the registration sticker in California, because it's the same thing as in Oregon, they'll take a box cutter and make an X over the previous year's registration to create more of like a...
an adhesive?
Yeah, like more surface area for the
something to hang on
years.
To.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something to grab onto.
They put the love handles on their... registration stickers. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That's good. So all of this is a reminder to all of us, the year is winding down. Get all your ducks in a row. Check those registrations on those vehicles. Check make sure your insurance is up to date. Get your oil changed. Stop playing. You know you've been looking at that check engine light for far too long. It's been a month, Gary. Get your oil changed, Gary. Stop change playing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's me to a T. It's so funny. The way that the mind operates, like I consider myself a fairly responsible and detail attuned person. Like I get shit. I get things done. I feel pretty confident in my ability to do things that I need to do in order to survive both in work and personally. There's mm-hmm. some things though that I just don't do it. I don't do it. Car registration for 16 months or 18 months is one of those examples, but there's many more. Case in point. Today, literally today, this is like my errand Armageddon. I ran every fucking errand that you could possibly imagine today in the last 8 hours. I feel more accomplished today than I have in like 6 months.
Yo, that's a great feeling.
It's such a good feeling. And I feel amazing right now.
Did you wake up with that plan or did it just hit you like, I got to get shit done?
Kind of both. So today is also, this week is the first time in a month that we haven't either had any travel or had anyone staying with us in our apartment. And so it was a lot of like, you know, going into bedtime last night, I was sort of making a plan for today and I was like, you know, it'd be nice to like clean up around the house a little bit. But then I woke up with what you're describing, this kind of lightning bolt of electricity shuddering through my body that was just like, it's fucking showtime.
Yeah, it's time.
It's showtime. So I just got to work, made a list and checked it twice and then ripped through everything. I feel so good right now.
Do you physically write out your lists? Do you do Yeah, pen and pad. Hell yeah. No,
look at all those checks.
Let me tell you, that's amazing. Show me that again. That's crazy. That's 15 for 15 from the line.
Yeah. I got more to bang out before the week's end. This is like a weekly list, and I got damn near every one of them today.
That's incredible. Yeah. Let me tell you, man, writing out lists physically. Game changer, not only for accountability's sake, but it feels good to physically write things. We don't do that enough.
I agree.
We don't do that enough. Journaling has been a huge part of my therapeutic experience. And anytime I do, I've gone from therapy to journaling about therapy and kind of making this arbitrary assignment of journaling. Like I gotta write at least 2 pages. Then it became too tedious. And I was like, I hate this. Like, yeah. I stopped journaling.
It feels like a chore for a little bit.
It feels
right?
like a chore. And that shouldn't be what it is. Like I'm trying to better myself, right? Like I'm trying to reflect. I'm trying to notice things, notice patterns about myself. Yeah. If I'm doing that and making it a chore, it's a deterrent. So
opposite effect.
I'll write 3 sentences.
Yeah.
And consider that like a journal entry and just put like a, you know, bold line in the middle, date it. I'm very, very good at dating and things like that. So like, just giving myself any outlet to write physically is so helpful to me. And I still keep the daily checklist on me. Like
I saw that when I was at your apartment last week and I loved that. I loved seeing that. It's funny because a checklist is kind of the most intimate note to yourself that you can make, because even with journaling, I found, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, but I've tried journaling many times throughout my life. Sometimes it holds, sometimes it doesn't. I sort of waffle between, but even when I'm in the process of writing, even while I know literally no one is going to read this, I still feel like I'm kind of performing to myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to write it well and like use funny language or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, and I catch myself and I'm like, why the fuck? Why am I doing this? Yeah, just write what you're just vomit onto the page, because that will feel cathartic.
For Connor's eyes only.
Yeah, it's for C's eyes only.
Yeah.
And does that, you know, but the checklist is so, it's so like literal and direct. It's like, do this thing.
Yeah.
But you can kind of still write it in your own way. And I don't know. I liked seeing yours. It made me feel nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a version of that I perform as well. You know, like I think that's why 3-4 sentences feels good to me. Cause if I don't have it, I'm not going to write it. If it's like just a few emotions, I just need to get out.
Right.
Like, I feel dumb about this. I feel like I feel disappointed in myself because this, that usually gets the feeling out all the way, even if I don't write all the words, like I know what it means.
Mm.
And then on the other side of it, something my therapist told me a couple of years ago about journaling. It's like, in the event that your journals are archived, you know, in however way that you do that, I don't know if folks like, you know, burn their journals or like throw them out.
Right.
But I feel like most people keep them. In the event your journal gets discovered by your grandchildren or great grandchildren in 60, 70, 80 years, they're going to want to know who you were in a way that photos and maybe videos can't convey. So in a way, it gives me something, but it's also like kind of a love letter to my ancestors,
your offspring.
My offspring. Yeah.
Papa, yeah, that's cool.
Was a rolling stone.
Yeah. That's really cool. But it's that I think inhibits me from being truly honest in a journal is that if I'm like, oh shit, somebody is going to read this. I don't want all the freaky shit.
You don't want your tea all up on the page.
So I start lying to my journal, which is wild.
I had a great day today.
A great day. I walked an old lady across the street.
Right.
And you know, I definitely wasn't a dickhead to this person.
Right. Right.
And that it's a really sweet image of, you know, envisioning your great grandson reading that and being like, I wonder what Pappy Wilson was like.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a great image.
It's a great image.
And then at the same time, it's like, that's fucking terrifying.
Me. Yeah. It terrifies me.
It's like, damn, he was a wild boy.
You know what what is helpful? And actually you're, you know what you were saying about you started by sort of mandating that you write 2 pages. That's kind of like the artist's way. I know you've talked about that before, and Eliza, my partner, does it as well. And she journals 3 pages every morning. The point of it is to, you know, the first page is usually kind of this mulled over instant reaction to what's happening in your life. But a lot of it, I think, is bullshit in a way. It's like this it's you wearing a mask to the journal. And once you get past that first page, it just like, there's no more veneer. Like everything that's coming out of you is just kind of like raw. And it just like gets the bullshit out of the way. You know? And that's what the second page or second 2 pages are for, is like what's actually in there, what's actually under the surface.
Yeah.
But I love your hack on it, which is like the kind of haikuification of it, or the fortune cookie kind of thing, is like, what am I feeling right now? And let me just put that on paper, because that's cathartic as hell. Like you don't need to bother a person with that thought or that emotion. You can just sort of do it. Something that I did yesterday, and something I do every once in a while, if I feel like I need to journal, but I don't know exactly what to talk about, I'll pick 3 angel cards. Three of the otherwise known on this podcast as intention cards that we have presented to our guests in years past. I have them.
Hey, where am I at? I'm not in here somewhere.
I have them right here, and I I'll just lay them out on the table. I'll mix them around, and I'll pick three, and I'll flip them over, and I'll like, did you drop all of them? Mm-hmm. 72 card pickup.
I dropped every single one, dog.
Shit.
Oh, fuck.
Damn it.
Okay. As you were saying.
I mean, it's just a good way to have the universe.
It's a thought starter.
It's a thought starter.
Yeah. The amuse-bouche of intentionality and reflection.
If I pick a random one here. I picked exploration.
Mm.
And I'll pick two more, and I'll just think about how each of those cards or how each of those themes kind of fit into my life at this given moment. Maybe it's something that has been happening for me recently and it's a good chance to reflect on it. And maybe on the other end, it's like a kind of a reminder to set a goal to be more explorative or exploratory or something like that. And that's been a really good way for me to kickstart the journaling processes. Yeah, give yourself some prompts, because it's not always easy to just create out of nothing or like know where to start. It's like, I feel everything right now. So
yeah,
where do I begin?
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. Yeah. Because there are definitely those days where I'm feeling everything and not knowing where to start.
Yeah.
But the good thing about these angel cards is like, the words on them will definitely spark something in you that will come out, that will show up in your life somehow, some way. The one that just flipped up, like I they all spilled into my lap, but I got them back, put them in. But the one that stood out to me was integrity. And yeah, this new like chapter in my life is one that, again, in therapy, I'm like chewing on, bringing up, reflecting on, as you know, life is new and different now. So like, how do I move through this period of my life with integrity and ethically? Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good, I like this. I will challenge myself to do that.
Yeah.
To use these cards for myself. I love that we did that on the pod for other people, but
yeah,
we can use them things too.
Yeah. It's good. Good for the self. Let me try it. Humor.
Yes.
Spelt the British way. What's funny is that, my mom was down in town, for Thanksgiving from Boston, and we picked angel cards yesterday before she left, and she picked this one. Humor.
Nice.
There's so many directions I can take this, but I think to keep it kind of golf related, I have not been enjoying golf so much recently, and I've voiced that to you.
Yeah.
And for various things, I think like kind of on a macro scale, there's a lot of weird shit happening in golf right now. Professionally, the institutions of golf are not leaving me feeling particularly fuzzy or that the investment in golf from a cultural standpoint is particularly authentic or good, like, you know, going into kind of a, you know, growing the game kind of conversation. But I think if I think about that humorously or with humor in mind, we have a platform upon which we can make fun of that shit.
Yes, we can.
Which is really cool. And I'm grateful for that. And I will take it as a challenge to do more of that, because I think humor is important in times where just like stuff is weird and people are trying to make sense of who they're feeling allegiances with, or, you know, like if they're not feeling represented or seen or whatever it is. Like, humor is obviously, laughter is a really good way to create some meaning or just like poke holes in things. And then even on a more personal level, you know, I played golf yesterday, just for fun, and I had a really, really good time. And I think it's just a good reminder to just laugh on the golf course, don't take it too seriously and be an idiot with your friends, you know, like
be an idiot,
be an idiot, like be an idiot. Clown for a little while. And that doesn't mean throw beer cans at each other's faces.
Yeah. That ain't the kind of humor we're talking about.
No,
that ain't the kind of humor. That ain't funny to me.
Just be a little bit of an idiot. Don't be like, I have to remind myself constantly to be comfortable, like with embarrassment. And not be afraid of embarrassment. Like I challenge myself to go and embarrass myself a little bit more.
It's good. It's humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Laughter's the best medicine, man. That's what they be saying. That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. I find even in, you know, my personal life, like when things are a little dark, a little heavy, I'll flip on a, you know, stand-up special.
Yeah.
Or I'll watch something I know I will laugh at. Mm-hmm. Like, I just grab it out of thin air, like watching models on a runway.
Oh.
Like misstep and
oh shit,
when the ankles start buckling.
Oh, when they start roller skating on the God.
Gets me every time.
Damn, she her whole entire ankle touched the floor.
Yes, it did. Her ACL touched the floor.
Here comes the hurricane, bitch. An accidental dead drop.
Right.
Tough.
Yeah. I mean, look, grief and humor can coexist. Grief and happiness can coexist. And you need both, man. You do. Yeah. I think that I'm the funniest person in the world. Like, mm-hmm. I be cracking myself up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think I'm the funniest person in the world, and I love that about myself. Mm-hmm. it's also just
I think
important
you're very
to
funny
like,
too, for what it's worth.
God bless you, and I you, sir. It's important to keep people around you who make you laugh too.
Yeah,
like. I don't know. I don't know what I would do if my friends weren't funny.
Yeah. We ain't got time to be all this fucking serious all the time.
No, we really don't. And I don't care. Yeah. I don't care about the serious shit. Make me laugh.
Yeah.
If I'm agreeing to get coffee with you or lunch or dinner, I'm coming to your house. Make me laugh, bro.
Make me laugh.
Make me laugh. Or else why are we here? Can you describe the time you've laughed the hardest in life, like not on the golf course?
Oh man, no, I wish I had like a thing, but it's the small things, you know, it's like the tiny insignificant things that just kill me sometimes.
Yes.
It's I maintain I don't think I've ever been as funny as being in sixth or seventh grade at the lunch table. I think you know, I think that's like if there was a Connor comedy highlight reel, it's 80% from being 11 or 12 years old at the lunch table.
Hell yeah.
This maybe sounds bad. I love when you go out with friends or you like have a party with friends and you wake up the next day and you are hungover or still drunk or whatever, and you reminisce about the night before.
Yes.
And maybe something crazy happened, maybe not at all, but just that kind of environment, that closed circuit of anything goes here. We can make fun of whoever did whatever last night. That's like that's one of my favorite comedy arenas in the world. 'Cause it's like, you'll never remember what you talked about. And it's just like, people just go off. And I think that's like the best comedy arena.
I do love that. I really do.
Yeah.
Most of my hard laughs are like church related.
Mm.
'Cause like in church, you know, there's a long list of do's and don'ts, and
totally.
The don'ts like outweigh the do's. Easy. So like, but we're all human, so we tend to operate in the don'ts.
Yeah,
you know?
The don'ts have it.
The don'ts have it. And little shit, like you said, like little shit, like somebody farts in church.
I mean, farts in church is the most iconic
It's the thing.
Laughing when you're not supposed to laugh is the best.
Yeah. Bro, I went to 2007. My pastor died, and there was a huge funeral. Like, he was pretty well known in South Jersey. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there's a huge turnout for mm-hmm. His funeral. And I remember walking, like, it was not open casket, but there was a flower arrangement and like a poster board with like photos of him. So like folks could come up, take turns, like write a little message, you know, pay their respects to the family, whatever. I remember doing that, feeling really emotional at the time, looking over to my right and seeing a kid chew this huge wad of Mentos. I was inconsolable.
When you say a wad of Mentos, it sounds like somebody had previously chewed a lot of Mentos into a wad and then gave him the ball of Mentos. Or are we talking like he was eating a lot of Mentos?
Like, he had the pack of Mentos. They were like the fruity kind. Okay. So he was just like chewing.
But just going to town.
Just going to town on this enormous wad of Mentos.
A wad.
I don't think he realized it wasn't gum. So I think he was chewing it he was like 4 or 5 years old. Like,
okay. Yeah. So he had no brains.
He had no brains.
Yeah. And it just sent you.
Oh my God. It just, I lost it. I absolutely lost it. Core memory. Mm.
Yeah. It's the little stuff. It's the tiny things that no one else or maybe one other person sees. And yes. You share that.
I was moment. On my own with yeah. that one. So yeah, that, yeah. I enjoyed that a lot.
That's so good. I guess it's worth noting that Drew is not dead. He's very much alive. He's just being the best dad in the world down at Disney World.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's good. He's all the way good.
He's good. He's having a gleeful time in
frolicking
Florida.
in Orlando.
He's taking the kids to Disney World.
He's making memories right now.
He's making core memories right now.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. Drew?
Send photos, too.
We love you. Send photos. Proof of life.
We ain't got nearly enough photos.
Proof of memories. It makes me really happy when Drew sends us just an out-of-nowhere photo of his entire family. How many goddamn family portrait sessions does that family have?
All of them.
It's awesome.
And it's like once a month, and they're fire every time. Fire. You know what?
They're fire.
Well, since he's moved into this new home and they've got the land, like,
yeah.
You ain't even got to stage it.
It's the staging opportunities are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a new scene every time.
All right. This time in front of the zip line.
Right.
Yeah.
Wee.
It's the best.
What's going on in the world of golf right now? What's happening?
Oh, you know what? We're a little late on this. We're like 2 weeks late on this, but Camilo Villegas.
Yo.
First win in 9 years. Fucking epic. So cool.
The GGT difference.
The GGT difference.
It's real.
For those who don't know, we had a brief, we sort of co-hosted / interviewed an event with Camilo Villegas. It was a first tee of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first tee of D.C. Kind of clinic, I guess you could call it. And he was just the sweetest guy ever. Super, super kind.
So kind. Ripped.
Yep. Ripped.
Beautiful.
He chiseled. Does not look like a golfer.
Uh-uh. He looks like like he should be in one of those aquatic polo Ralph Lauren blue fragrance commercials.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Aqua di Gio.
Yeah.
That's what this man looks like in person.
Moisture is the essence of wetness.
Yes. Straight
and
wetness
up. Is the essence of beauty.
It's him.
Was it the WWT? No, that was Eric Van Rooyen, which also deserves a shout out.
Yo, stop playing with us. Difference. Stop playing with us. Put some respect on our name out here. You come on this pod, you interact with us, you win tournaments straight up.
Win things.
We win you money.
Yeah. So He won in Bermuda. That was the tournament.
Okay. Yes.
Camilo, outstanding performance. He got the whole champagne shower at the end too, which was really cool.
Deserved.
And for those who don't know, he and his family recently lost their very young daughter, who had been suffering with some chronic illness from a really young age. She was, I think, only 3 or 4 years old. Really, really awful story, and tremendously heavy for their whole family, of course. But to have your first victory in 9 years, I mean, the comeback is incredible. He went to Q school 2 years ago. He like didn't have his PGA Tour card. So he made it back and had a glorious win a couple weeks ago. So incredible story.
That's sick.
Bradford.
Connor.
I still have so much.
Me too. It's so bad. Get it out of me already.
Get it out of me. You know what? I say we keep this light. We keep it tight, ship it, and wait for Drew's return imminently from Disney.
Yeah.
When we'll be back together again. Again.
Again.
You know what I'm stoked for? This Friday, we're sitting down to interview Dr. Joe Parent, author of Zen Golf. That'll come out
Joe Parent.
Next week. I'm very excited for that. I think he is a treasure trove. I'm fucked.
You're done.
I'm done. All right. Well,
bye.
Enjoy that. Bye.